It's great to be with everyone today. Thank you for tuning in. I know that today is Pentecost, that as Christians, we're celebrating really the giving of God's Holy Spirit to us to empower us to live the life that He's called us to live in a dark world. And the reality is that we do live in a dark world, but God has a purpose and a plan for all of us to be light. And this whole series really is about shining that light, not just in the world, but specifically in our families. And I know that many people come from a family that may be dark. Maybe you have a great family and a healthy family, maybe not. Regardless, today we're looking at some simple biblical principles that can help us to walk in the light that God has for us. At the top of my page, I titled it, What Healthy Families Do. And the reality is it's not a complex or long message, and it's all about having a God-centered family. And that's my heart for you, that you recognize that even if your biological family may not be what you know it should be, that you can join yourself to God's purpose and plan, to His people, to spiritual family, as well as maybe biological family, but that you can walk in light. You can walk in peace. You can walk in hope. And this is my heart for you today. And I think it is fitting. You know, we're talking about Pentecost, where God poured out His Spirit on His people to share the good news that there was life, there was salvation, there was hope. And for your family and for you, I want you to know that there's life, there's salvation, that there's hope. You know, Pentecost really is a really neat, it's a neat time of celebration. It's fascinating to me that Jesus, that He died at Passover. And I know some of you, this may go over your head, but I hope you do some biblical study. That He died at Passover, which is when the Jewish people celebrate their deliverance from Egypt. And that there was a death angel that went through all of the land, but everybody who was in their dwelling, and their dwelling had been covered with the blood of a lamb, they were spared, they were saved. And Jesus' death, we're looking at Passover, that He became the Lamb, that His blood was shed so that we can live in a place of safety, security, life, and peace because of Him. And then Pentecost, you know, the Jews celebrate Shavuot, which is the giving of the law of Moses. They celebrate that, and they celebrate the first wheat harvest. And that Pentecost, like really today, that we can see that God is giving us, I believe, a key to life, to take the dead, broken things around us, maybe in our families, maybe that we can clearly see the world around us, but maybe even the things that are close to us, that God's wanting to bring new life. And so he gave this message to me a couple weeks ago, but I'm excited to share it today. I thought I was going to share it last week, but I knew that wasn't the case. And so today we're going to turn to Ezekiel 37. It is a really well-known story, but I want to look at it through the lens of what it means for us having God-centered families, whether that's biological or spiritual families. So we're going to look at chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel. He's a prophet, and he's prophesying to the nation of Israel. And the first 35 chapters are all about Jerusalem, and that God's judgment is coming against Jerusalem because of their sins. And then it happens. Then Jerusalem is taken captive. It's destroyed. It's razed. And then in chapter 36, the tone changes. And God begins to speak through Ezekiel, and He speaks of hope, of restoration. In fact, He says, God speaks through Ezekiel and says of a broken and destroyed Jerusalem, He says, I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I want you to see God's heart for us in our brokenness. Your filth will be washed away. You'll no longer worship idols. And then He says this in verse 26. I love it. He says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. This is my prayer today, that we can have God's heart in not just our life, but in our relationships, in our God-centered families. And so there's hope for Israel. And so He gets this message of like, I'm going to sprinkle you clean. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. Yes, Jerusalem's destroyed, but I've got a plan for you. It's a plan for purity. It's a plan for a new heart. And then God gives him this vision in chapter 37. It says, the Lord took hold of me. And I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. So He's having this vision. He led me all among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And then he asked me, so God's speaking in this vision, takes him to this valley, there's just dead human bones, dried bones everywhere. And he asks me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? It's kind of like a loaded question, like, God, you're asking me, you're showing me this valley with bones. And Ezekiel replies wisely. He says, O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know that answer. And then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you and you'll come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. How does that apply to us? Just the beginning of this vision. How does it apply to us and understanding God's heart for us and the relationships that we have, the close family relationships, whether it be biological or with people that we know that we're joined to who are like family? How does this apply? I think it really shows us how we're called to live in relationship, how we're called to live in family. Because if we're going to have God-centered families, God-centered relationships, we also have to do this. We have to live by faith. That means we have to believe that God is at work and that we know that He will bring life to relationships that are dead and broken and are gone. Do you believe that? Because we'll often see the dead things around us. We'll see the dead and broken and withered and dried out relationships. That's what Ezekiel sees. And then God asks him this question. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Ezekiel says, I don't know, God, but you do. What does it mean for us to live by faith in our families and in our relationships? It means this, that we firmly believe that the breath of God can breathe on those dead things around us, those messed up and broken relationships, because there's messed up and broken people, that God can show up and they can become alive. They'll be life-giving. We have to live by faith. Actually, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. And it is easy to look at the relationships that we have. It is easy to look at the people that we know and maybe we really love, but there's a disconnect. There's a dead relationship there and go, that's it. It's done. But when we live by faith, we are not ignorant. Like we see that there's a brokenness, that there's scattered, dead, broken things in the relationship, but we also still hold fast to the truth that when God shows up, everything can come to life. That's hard. It's really hard because if you've ever been stabbed in the back, you know what that feels like. And sometimes, though we can see the brokenness, we don't feel like having faith because we're just living in the place of pain. But when we trust God, He brings wholeness. And He takes those areas where that knife of rejection that's stabbed us, whether in the back or the chest, that He takes that knife of rejection that's brought death to us, and He first brings us to life because we believe that He can. How does He do it? Well, God is life. God is light. And the death and darkness in our own soul is brought to wholeness and healing when we allow God in. But to allow Him into those dead areas where we've been stuck, we have to first pull the knife out. And that is forgiveness. It's what God extended to us. Do you live by faith in your relationships? You cannot, listen to me clearly on this, you cannot live by faith in your relationships and still harbor unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness is all about your power to hold something over someone else. But living by faith in relationships is believing that God can bring healing to them and to you. It starts with you by going, I'm pulling this thing that stuck me in the chest or the back Or maybe it's that thing that's in your mind that you have to pull out and allow God to fill that void, and He'll do it with healing, but you have to believe that He can. You want a God-centered family. You want God-centered relationships. You have to live by faith. Ezekiel sees the dead things. God shows it to him. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Can I ever get over the hurt? Can I ever get over the pain? Can I ever get over what they did? Can I ever get over their loss? God knows. And God speaks. And He says, life can happen. How do we have God-centered families, healthy, whole families? How do we do that? We live by faith. The second thing is seen. We see it in verse 4. He says, speak a prophetic message to these bones. And say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm going to put breath in you, make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you, cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Here's the second thing. We want to have God-centered families. We have to live by faith. But we also have to speak words, life. It's easy to speak words of life when everything around you is alive. But when all you see is dead, it becomes a prophetic message. Everybody looks at the Old Testament and go like, wow, these prophets were amazing. They spoke on behalf of God. Let me just remind you that God's heart for our lives is to live in His light. That's chapter 36, the purity where He washes us clean and gives us a new heart. And life. How do we get there when all we see is death? We trust God, that's faith. And then we speak life to the death. If you've ever been in horrific, traumatic situations where it's truly been a life or death situation, whether that's in combat, whether that's in a traumatic accident, it's very easy to focus on the carnage, to focus on the death, to focus on the devastation. It's like a technicolor dream. And it can be very vivid and alive even years after it's happened. But it just brings death. Those are the bones that people deal with in relationships and the things that they look back on and they see and they hear and they feel and they sense. And you have to know, you have to have faith that God wants to bring healing, wholeness, and life. But you have to begin to speak life, not death. God says to him, speak a prophetic message. Then He tells him what to say. What is God telling you to say about the relationships that you're in? Because it's easy to say, well, they're just, and if they would have, and I can't believe that is easy. That's cheap. It's the easiest form of observational commentary. But God's called us to speak prophetically into the relationships that we have and the people that are closest to us, even if, especially if those relationships are dead and broken and dying. Speak a prophetic message. Profound words in verse 7, the first three words. So I spoke. And He spoke God's word to the dead things around him. You want a relationship to be alive? Stop speaking death, start speaking life. So I spoke a message just as He told me. He speaks life. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed over their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Speaking prophetically over relationships, speaking God's word and God's life into relationships isn't a one-time event. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife. Who spoke life for years into our marriage because there were dead areas that she saw that I couldn't see. And yet, we are where we are in our relationship because of two things, probably three, that God revealed to her dead areas she spoke them, God revealed, she spoke life to them, then God revealed to me, really through her speaking and saying, don't you see this? God revealed to me the dead areas, and then I began to speak life as well. But it is a process. God says, speak prophetically, and they're going to come to life, and he does. But they still had no breath in them. So if things have changed, they're not bones anymore. They're these dead bodies laying around. Verse 9, then he said to me, this is the second time. He says, speak a prophetic message to the winds. He's telling him again. He's already told him once, speak a prophetic message. And many people get to the place in the relationships with God, I did what you told me to do. I spoke what you told me to say. I did my part. Like, it's still dead. There's been some changes, but it's not what it needs to be. Keep speaking. And if you listen, instead of just focus on the dead and really complain, if you listen and you realize that you've got to have faith and believe God and that you've got to speak life, you're going to have to speak it a lot. Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. God tells him to speak breath. We need to speak the breath of God into the dead things in our life, but it's a process. Keep going. And look at again in verse 10, three powerful words. So I spoke. And to speak again. I spoke this message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. When you have faith that God can bring life, when you continue to speak only life and not focus on the death, but the truth of what God wants to do, it becomes an unbelievable strength in your life. And it brings dead things back to life. God-centered families live by faith, speak words of life. And then verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. And they're saying, we've become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Do you say that about anything in your life? Our nation's finished. This is applicable to us today. Very relevant at this moment, not just individually and personally in our close relationships and our families, but even in our nation. We are in a dark time. How do we get through it? Same principle applies. Have faith. Speak life. The nation was speaking. They were old, dry bones. Hope is gone. Our nation's finished. And then he tells Ezekiel to do this. He says, therefore, This is the man of God. This is the man of the hour. Listen to me. We are the men and women of God. And this is our hour, not just for our closest relationships, for our families, both biological and spiritual, but for us as citizens in a country that God placed us. Therefore, prophesy to the naysayers, prophesy to the prophets of doom and death. You say this to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This is God's life, God's heart, God's light, God's life. O people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, that land of Israel is the place of promise. He's saying, speak to those that are saying death. It's everything around saying, no, no, no. God says that you're going to rise up. You're going to go from the place of being cast out, from the place of death, from the place of oppression, that we're going to go to the place of promise, the place of life. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I'll put my spirit in you. You'll live again, and you'll return to your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. What do you speak? What do you see? You may see death, but God's heart for you is to trust Him and speak life, knowing it's going to happen, but it's not just for you. When it is, like it affects you, like you see that and you speak and dead things come to life, it's bigger than you. And we're called, here's the third thing, God-centered families live by faith. They speak words of life. And here's the third one, they get up and go. And it's in the going. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say that you'll know that I'm God when you see the dead things come to life? No, he says, I'll cause you to rise up. I'll bring you back. So they're going. And when this happens, then you'll know that I'm the Lord. And I'll put my spirit in you. How do we live God-centered family? We trust God with all of our heart. We don't look at the devastation around us and see just that. Obviously, we see it, but we see what can be when the breath of God breathes on the things that cause us the most pain, that cause us the most death. And I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're, maybe you got perfect relationships. That'd be amazing. But what is God showing you right now? Two times this week, we've had hail. And maybe you're walking through hail right now. That's really a dad joke. I'm so sorry. But maybe you're walking through hail, but God's got a promise for you. I was after the hail. I was driving with a friend, and we're commenting. The sun's shining, but it's really dark off to the south. And as we turn, we're looking at this shining light over here and these dark clouds, and you're like, this is crazy, you know. And it hailed the night before, And then I turn into his driveway, and as I turn, I realize there's this huge double rainbow. Beautiful, unbelievable. And it's a sign of God's promise that regardless of how dark and devastating things are, all of the hail that we have to walk through in life, he's got a place of promise for it. But we have to have faith. We have to speak words of life, and we have to keep going. Stay the course, embrace the process, and know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I hope this is encouraging to you. Listen, if you're far from God, you turn to him. He knows you and he loves you. He loves you so much that he came down to this earth, the creator of the universe and Jesus died on a cross for your sins, paid the punishment for your sin so that you could be right with him. Man, if this is you and you're listening, may you turn to him. How do you do that? With sincerity and purity of heart. You pray something like this, and you can pray this with me if you like. God, cleanse me. Make me right. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you have forgiven me, that Jesus, it's your blood that was shed so that mine doesn't have to be in consequence for my sin. I choose you. I believe you, Jesus. You're the creator of all. You're the savior of the world, but Lord, you're my savior, and I surrender my life to you. I'm yours. If you prayed that, that is the first step in a new life. It's the first step of true faith, and God has a purpose and a plan for you. Let us help you walk in that. So connect. You can connect on the link below. You can contact us via Messenger or our website, or you can call the office. Here's my heart to see you grow in your walk with God. And listen, if you're looking to get together in person, well, we have pop-up church tonight at 6:30. You'll be able to see that on Facebook and in an email blast and on our website. So be looking for that. And guess what? We'll be back in our building really, really soon. So excited for that. Love you guys. God bless. See you soon.